Hi, and welcome to Packer Transplants, brought to you by Cheesehead TV, with your hosts, Corey Banky and Aaron Nagler. Today's show, September 25th, 2008, examines the Packers' first loss of the season and looks forward to Sunday's game with the Buccaneers. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Packer Transplants.
Reality is it's the third game of the season. It was a big game. It was a great measuring stick for our football team. And I'll tell you exactly what I told them. You know, Dallas Cowboys are further ahead than we are right now. And that's the facts. And that's week three.
From our studios in Inwood, Manhattan, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Hi, and welcome to Packer Transplants. I'm Aaron.
And this is Corey.
And today we'll try not to get too upset about the loss to the Cowboys. We'll talk about spleens and pray for the return of a running game. So let's get started.
And what better way to get started but the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got Charles Woodson.
Yeoman's work, my friend.
We got the stud, Greg Jennings.
I do not have enough superlatives for Greg Jennings.
And Cullen Jenkins.
A beast. Thank you for showing up, Cullen.
And we got the bad. We got Brandon Chiller.
Brandon, buddy, wrap up.
Tony Mall.
Thank you for not starting this weekend.
Charlie Peppra.
Wow.
And we got the ugly. We got Aaron Rouse.
Aaron, buddy, the other team, they want to score. Your job is to stop them. Yikes.
And we're sorry for being away this last
Welcome
week.
Welcome back,
we
Packer
missed the
Transplants.
Lions. The Lions fired Matt Millen finally, and
that's,
I want to.
That's
I wanna,
upsetting. If you're
I want to give
fan.
A shout out to a Lions fan who's listening to this podcast right now. His name is Paul Schmaltz. Okay,
wait a second. We have Lions fans.
Yeah,
that listen to our podcast.
Yeah, well, he's listening because he was the production manager on Ryder Cup, which is the reason that I wasn't here
last week to do the podcast.
He has his own podcast.
Does he really?
He is
a Lions
actually
podcast.
No, it's not a Lions podcast. It's like his.
Doesn't he want people to listen? Isn't that kind of the idea of recording a podcast?
But he is very excited that Matt Millen is being fired. He was like, oh, yes, yes, I'm
you
so
don't
excited.
Say.
You know, it's 5 years on the works. The Lions
are
terrible.
I mean, what I love is that Millen took over a 9-7 team, and then he just made them as bad as possible.
It's the, oh my gosh.
God bless you, Matt Millen.
Yeah, the Lions are so bad that I can't think of a saying for our buttons for the Lions.
For wow, do they suck?
Yeah,
that's
I mean you
it.
Can't
that's
even say wow. Do they, I mean
because you got the Bears still suck.
Yeah, the
so
Bears
you can't
still
even go
suck,
there.
And the Vikings. You got Vikings. You got all these
all
things.
This stuff.
There's
yeah.
all these things like Norse and I've been actually thinking of some Lions, some Vikings things. But Lions, it's like even kitties. It, like it doesn't really.
No.
It doesn't
no.
really say how bad they are.
No, it doesn't.
They're
because,
terrible.
Because wow, they're bad.
Did you see the John Quitna article?
Yes.
About Quitna.
Yes. Yeah.
Dude, that's brilliant.
That's great. Well, because he did. He totally quit. He threw an interception and he kind of quit.
He's like,
and then he threw another interception and he totally quit. It was great. I love it.
That game was amazing.
The game was off the hook.
I just want to say thank you to Kitna. I want to give a personal shout out to him.
I want to say thank you to Kitna, but I want to say thank you to Charles Woodson. He kind of won that game single-handedly at the end there. I mean, it was very nice.
It's true, and he was very good in this Dallas Cowboys game.
He was great. Owens
except for the Felix Jones.
The Felix Jones play was upsetting.
Run for
and I would like to go on record, and I think you agree with me here, the big play to Miles Austin, not the touchdown, but the one where Collins runs him down at like the 2 yard
yep.
line. Everyone's saying, and everyone, like even the Green Bay Press,
they're blaming
JS
Nick
Online,
Collins.
Everyone's saying that's Collins' play to make, but we both think, and I think you saw the
meanwhile,
same thing I did.
Woodson is covering no one.
Woodson is, I think, supposed to pass off T.O. to Williams outside and then take Austin when he cuts over to the middle.
Or maybe he's playing a zone where
Unless
no one's in that
the
zone.
The game plan was to triple cover Owens and let Austin go free over the middle. Somehow, I don't even think Bob Sanders came up with that.
You know, I wouldn't put it past Bob.
You know, Bob may have. But okay, wait.
Okay, wait.
I think the number one thing we need to talk about right now
is
coming out of that game is Al Harris needs a new spleen. That sucks. All right. That really sucks.
Al Harris, we're sorry.
Al, we're raising a glass to you, buddy. I have a good friend who doesn't have a spleen. And it's fine. You know, you can live day to day without a spleen. You have to take a pill or two a day.
Is his name Luke Laga?
It is.
He's actually Donald Driver's size.
He used to be. He's not anymore. He has a wife and kid now. You don't have no Donald Driver's size going on. And he also doesn't play professional football. Al Harris needs to sit down and relax. Do you know that Al asked the doctors to take his spleen out so that he could play on Sunday?
That's brilliant.
He's a warrior. Are you kidding me?
I love Al Harris.
How can you not?
I love Al Harris unless he's matched up with the best receivers in the NFL.
Then you don't love Al Harris.
No.
But because okay. Hey, speaking of matching up, Tremont Williams, time to step up.
It's true.
Time to bring it.
And he has it. I'm sick of people play hating on Tremont Williams.
Anyone who says they don't know, they think Tremont Williams can't cover is just ridiculous and doesn't know what the hell they're talking about.
No, they're thinking that they're talking about Jared Bush.
Yeah, exactly. Who doesn't and can't cover anyone. But Tremont Williams, he's got skills and he can do it. So I think people are going to be pleasantly surprised.
John Gruden is going to pick on him.
Of course.
There's no doubt.
Everyone is. And bring it. I mean, I think he's up for the challenge. I really do. Last year, he covered Calvin Johnson, for goodness sake. I mean, he'll be fine.
Let's talk about a forum topic that I think I'm going to have to sticky. Okay?
All right.
And this is my Fire Bob Sanders petition, which I want everyone that's a forum member, or even if you're not a forum member, sign up for the forum. Okay? If you listen to this podcast and you were like, you know what, I really want to sign up for the forum, sign up and sign the Fire Bob Sanders petition. It's kind of like my Bring Back Brett website, okay? But it's the Fire Bob Sanders petition.
Oh, because I think I'm a charter member of that group.
Seriously.
So unimaginative.
I have no words.
Wait. Everyone saw.
It's 3rd and 5. Let's bring 4. Wait, it's 3rd and 20.
Let's bring four.
It's 3rd and 2. Let's bring 4.
Offensive coordinator, you don't even need to think. You don't even need to worry about it. As a quarterback, you don't even need to worry about it.
We're just going
to
bring 4 guys. Now, I love Aaron Kampman. I love Colin Jenkins. I love everybody on our team. But everybody needs help once in a while.
Okay, thank you. Perfect point of this. And this is what pissed me off so much on Sunday night. You've had all offseason to watch the tape from the previous Dallas game. You know, Aaron Kampman cannot beat Colombo. He's now had 8 quarters, and he hasn't done it once.
It's true.
All right? But if I know that...
He was getting chipped, though. I will say that.
A couple of times, but mostly Colombo handled him one-on-one.
It's true.
Now, if I know that, how the heck does Bob Sanders get paid not to know that?
I don't get... Okay, and
it
here's...
It just kills me. You cannot give up... 3rd and 20. What are you, Ed Donatell? Give me a break.
Okay, did you say Ed Donatell?
I did. It was 3rd and 20, and they gave up a touchdown.
Ed Donatell is a better defensive coordinator than Bob Sanders.
They gave up a touchdown on 3rd and 20.
I love how you didn't argue about that.
How can I? At least Donatell mixed it up.
Wait, you want to listen to 3rd and 20? I got some 3rd and 20 for you.
3rd down, Dallas.
3rd and a mile.
20 yards to go. Football back of the Dallas 48. Slot left. Single receiver to the right side, Miles Austin. Shotgun formation. Snap to Romo. Rushes on. Romo steps up looking. Rainbows deep down the right side, and it is caught over the shoulder down the sidelines. Touchdown, Miles Austin.
Ouch.
I love how McCarron just sounds like someone just ripped his heart out. Oh. That kind of says it all.
That was it. That was the game.
As horrible as that play was, and it was horrible, Colin Jenkins had an amazing rush inside. He made Tony Romo step up, and if Jason Hunter had taken a proper angle, that would have been a sack. However, that said, Colin Jenkins has had an amazing 3 games.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, he's really come
alive.
He
had a really good game against Dallas.
Yeah, he did. He was a beast. He beat Flozell Adams 3-4 times, just right at the snap of the ball.
He did everything we talked about in training camp, how we needed...
We needed him to do.
Yeah.
And he's done it.
Although, KGB...
Absolutely. I almost wrote about that last night. KGB, you go back and watch that game, he did nothing.
No.
And he hasn't done much all year.
He's the highest paid player on this team.
On the team. And he hasn't done anything.
Nope.
That's a little disconcerting.
Oh, you know what? To say the least. You don't want to talk about not doing anything. Where is Nick Barnett? Let me
That's a really good point.
Let me share some stats with you. We got Nick Barnett last year led the team in tackles, okay?
Yeah, he was a beast. Especially at the beginning of the year last year.
So, who's leading the team in tackles this year? That would be AJ Hawk. So AJ Hawk's got 26 tackles, 2 sacks, okay?
Right.
Guess who's next on our team in tackles? You'll never believe this. I actually was dumbfounded when I looked at this on NFL.com.
Is it Aaron Rouse?
Yeah. With 16 tackles. Okay, now Nick Barnett is right behind him with 15. Okay, so AJ Hawk...
No, wait a second.
...has 26 tackles, and Nick Barnett has 15.
But what's even worse about that is that Aaron Rouse has started one game and he has more tackles than Nick Barnett, our starting middle
and
linebacker.
And I got to be honest
with you. In a defense that is designed to flow things to the middle linebacker.
It seemed like to me, and I watched the game for the second time today in HD.
Right.
It seemed like every time Marion Barber and Nick Barnett connected, Nick Barnett just whiffed on the tackle.
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally. And now, granted, some of that, a lot of that is Marion Barber. I mean, he makes a lot of people look foolish.
He's a beast.
However, it's not just the Marion Barber
plays.
He
didn't make A.J. Hawk look that foolish.
No, that's what I mean. Hawk, like, put a beat down on him a couple times. However, Barnett, just in general, in these first three games, has really kind of disappeared.
Yeah.
And it's concerning.
Well, I wonder how much is Sanders moving the defense more towards A.J. Hawk?
See, I don't know. I mean, obviously, we'll never know because we're not in the game planning session.
Is it a scheme thing, or is it Nick Barnett just not? Because you'd think the middle linebacker is still going to be the crux of the defense.
It's just his play. He's not been as aggressive towards the line. He's not been as aggressive in his angles to the ball. I don't know if he's being told to react more, to read first and react more, rather than just react or like fly to the ball. I don't know what it is, but the guy needs to take off the training wheels and start hitting people.
It's
true. This is just gotten ridiculous.
Well, the interesting thing here is, again, third-year players. Who's in their third year?
Exactly.
A.J. Hawk.
A.J. Hawk.
Who else is in their third year? Greg Jennings.
Yep.
Who else is in their third year? Nick Collins.
Nick Collins having a couple good games in a row. I mean, he had a great pick to seal the game against Detroit.
A terrible coverage play against Austin for the play we were talking about with Woodson.
Okay, wait. Well, the one with Woodson, yeah. But again, he's a deep help. He's not primarily responsible for the receiver cutting across the middle. He's the last line of defense, which he was on that play.
If you're the last line of defense and you don't get it done, though.
But he did. He got him done down before the end zone. I mean, he shouldn't have let him go.
There's something about the fact that he wears, you know, Leroy Butler and Antonio Freeman were at that game. They were showing Fuzzy Thurston and Bart Starr and all these people. And I remember seeing Leroy Butler, and I really want to know what Leroy Butler thinks about
Nick Collins
wearing his number.
Yeah,
because
I remember when they
gave that
to him. I was like, "Are you kidding me?"
Although, here is a Leroy Butler type play.
Romo gets the snap, scans the secondary, whip time, floats it over the middle of the end zone. It's intercepted by Nick Collins. He comes out of the end zone to the left sideline to the 5 and the 10 and the 15. He to the 20, cutting right to the 25, still on his feet, 30. Cutting right, 35, gets a block to the 40. Down the right sideline to front of the Dallas bench, and he's brought down in Cowboy territory. Inside the 45 near the 42-yard line, 59-yard return. Terrell Owens brought him down.
We've come to that point in our broadcast where we try to convince you to visit our website. Some of you have complained about this gross display of blatant commercialism. So tonight, we will in no way mention the amazing new CheeseheadTV.com buttons on sale now in the Cheesehead TV store.
Aaron Rodgers.
What about Aaron Rodgers?
Don't fumble after we get an interception.
Oh, you can't go from this amazing game-changing play to first and 10, really excited, let's run it or throw it, I don't care, down their throats, and then you fumble the snap for negative 8 yards for second and 18.
Although I will say Aaron Rodgers was very impressive in this game.
Yeah. Okay. He was good. He wasn't great.
He was.
He held the ball too long on several occasions. He sprayed it out a little bit. He was trying to fit into some windows, and he sailed his passes more than you've seen the first two games. You know, now granted, I don't think the play calling helped him a whole lot. I think, you know, James Jones was down. And so, you know, he was throwing to Jordy Nelson like almost exclusively in the
fourth quarter.
In the fourth quarter,
here in the second
drill.
Quarter, I think his biggest mistake of the game, in my opinion, mm-hmm. was in the second quarter. It's third and three. Okay,
right.
He's got two guys coming up on the right side. Clearly, the Dallas Cowboys are blitzing.
Right, which he you know, he worked the snap count perfectly and
it's
made
true.
Them declare early.
True.
So he did that well.
But in that situation. And I hate to make comparisons, but you know it's coming.
You love it.
Favre would have known, hey, I got to go to a quick check down here. I'm going to go to a quick slant. I'm going to go to whatever. Maybe I'm even going to wait, and I'm going to throw a screen
but
or a
But he would have made the
down.
Adjustment not only on the
make
line.
Make the adjustment at the line. You got the blitzers coming.
The
Don't
second the play
hold
happens.
The ball there. Yeah. And honestly, that in my opinion, that was his biggest mistake of the game. He almost had an interception late, which he got lucked out. He
right.
didn't get the
but,
interception.
But that wouldn't have turned the
but
game at that point.
Let's talk about the Favre comparisons because, you know, sometimes
Plus
it works
none.
Out
See,
in the
did.
Kid's favor.
Oh,
sometimes
wait.
It works out in the kid's favor. So right. we got Aaron Rodgers. Three games in, people, okay? Aaron Rodgers, 64 for 99, 64.6 percentage. We got Favre with 63 for 90 with a 70 percentage. But Aaron Rodgers, 102.9 quarterback rating. Brett Favre?
What about Brett?
98.7.
Yeah, and
Brett Favre,
looking
three
so
interceptions. Aaron Rodgers,
zero.
Zero. He should have had one in that Dallas game. I mean, it went in and out of the guy's
hands. He didn't. The guy didn't hang on because he was throwing the heat.
He's also got 100, about 100 more yards than Favre. Throwing.
Did you see the Ed Werder interview with Favre?
No. Oh, where he, yeah.
Where he said, Greg Jennings says that, you know, Aaron Rodgers throws with more velocity, blah, blah, blah. And Favre said, yeah, well, you know, I'm almost 40 years old. You know, when I was 24, I would have thrown him. Like, just every time Favre talks about the Packers, he comes off as, like, just this bitter, whining girl.
It's true. But you know who's you know who's kind of a girl?
Uh-oh.
Eric Mangini. Okay?
Ooh,
how do
yeah.
you pull a legend who has done nothing wrong besides the fact that you have a terrible offense? Okay? How do you pull him out of the game? I know this isn't a Jets podcast, but everybody listening watched that Favre game. Let me assure you.
I hear you.
Okay?
Now,
how do you pull him out in the fourth quarter when he's done nothing to
reasons.
Deserve that?
Two reasons.
His ankle, you're going to say one.
His ankle, and they were no way in shape form going to win that game.
Okay. I hate to
and
say this on a family podcast, but everybody calls Eric Mangini Mangenius.
Right.
I call him Mangina.
Okay. Moving on. Thank you very much. We'll see you next week. Tip your waitress. Try the veal.
Oh.
Moving on.
I'm sorry, Brett. Oh. I'm sorry you had to go to that terrible team.
I'm not.
Called the Jets.
I'm not. Should have stayed retired. Enjoy it out there. In Jersey.
I'm sorry. I'm glad he's not playing. I'm glad we're not playing him this week.
Yeah, which may have happened.
It could have been.
Had he been traded. But we are playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the biggest thing we need to do
is run the ball.
Is run the freaking ball,
Let's
people.
Let's talk about running the ball
Let's
for a second.
Let's talk about Ryan Grant.
Ryan
Let's
Grant.
Talk about our offensive line. Let's get it done.
Ryan Grant in this game. Last game, 13 for 54. Let's talk about the fact that the Packers in the second quarter, okay, in the game, we ran the ball 26 times.
That's unacceptable.
Okay, and that's not including Aaron Rodgers, okay?
That's unacceptable.
That's just Ryan Grant and Brandon Jackson, 26 times. And Ryan Grant had a 4.15 rushing average, so it's not like we were terrible in the running game. In the
that's
second
the
quarter, we didn't run the ball
one time. That's inexcusable. And the thing is like McCarthy's play calling on Sunday night, it hasn't been like this most of the year. He got visions of it in the second half in Detroit. But overall, all offseason, he said, oh, we're going to run the same offense with Aaron Rodgers. You know, he's got the same responsibilities, the same abilities to change the play, same check with me's. That has not been the case.
No.
Sunday night, he called the game scared.
No play action.
No play action. And every time he went three wide or four wide, they were throwing the ball. And every time he went I formation, they were running the ball. There was one play action pass the entire game.
In the first quarter.
In the first quarter. Before he even established a run. So it just, I don't know. Like he says, he pays all this lip service to like, there's no restrictions on Aaron Rodgers. But he won't call the game.
And he says they're not a spread offense when clearly they
are. When clearly he spends the entire second quarter spreading out the ball. I mean,
which is fine because Aaron Rodgers is good. Hey,
I agree.
This kid can run it.
But you got to mix it up. You got to give him a running game. The kid is good, but he could be great if he had the threat of a running game behind him. And they were. Like you said, he had Grant had a four-yard average. He got stopped for 2 yards here, 1 yard gain there, but he was also ripping off 8 yard runs, 9 yard runs. Yeah. You got to stick with it.
Well, in the third quarter, they ran the ball five times straight. Now, one of those, you couldn't have play actioned out of that.
It's just perplexing. And I'm just, I really hope they come with a commitment to the run. And that was the other thing.
You hate to talk about play calling, though.
You do. No. Let's just say that. We will say this
up front.
We've
said it before.
I used to rip on play calling all the time, and Corey cured me of that ill. Because as you are often saying, you don't know what they know. You don't know. You haven't done the research.
But
you don't
not
know the
running
tendencies.
The ball one time in the second quarter.
that's
unfair. You don't have to know anything about football to realize that that's moronic.
But I will say, not to a specific play call, but as far as a game plan and a game design, I wrote on Cheesehead TV matchup last week that the Packers needed to pound it early. Like, keep their offense off the field and then spread it out in dink and dunk later in the game.
Well, they did the opposite.
And McCarthy
of that.
Totally flipped the script on that. He absolutely came out spread, throwing the ball around the yard, and then came out in the second half and pounded it.
Well,
which made no sense.
And you know, all of this is negated by the fact that it doesn't even matter if our red zone offense actually worked.
Oh, exactly. Oh, because that's the thing. Greg Jennings got us down there how many times? And Aaron Rodgers.
Donald Driver.
And that amazing 50-yarder to Donald Driver. It was a beautiful play.
And Mike McCarthy talked about the red zone offense, and here's what he had to say about it.
Not very good. You know, we were down there, what, three times? So we only got it in once. We had a pressure there on third down, and if we'd have picked it up, that probably would have helped. We weren't very sharp in the red zone.
Understatement of the year.
Three field goals.
That won't win you games when you're kicking field goals in the red zone. But what will win you games are two things. Hitting, sacking the quarterback, especially when he drops back 67 times, as Brian Greasy did last week against the Bears.
Or just pressuring him with more than four guys, Bob Sanders.
Or running the football down their freaking throat.
That would be nice.
Which I am looking forward to. We got Scott Wells back. We got Jason Spitz moving over to right guard. We got Ryan Grant pretty much fully healed from his hamstring injury. It's time to run the ball, Mike.
And we got John Gruden picking on Tremont Williams.
Well, I'm
ready for that.
You and I are in agreement. Tremont Williams is ready for this.
Sure.
And I'm excited to see
I'm not quite ready for Charlie Peppra and Jarrett Bush in the backfield.
I'm going to pretend you didn't say that. Well, that's it for this week's show. We hope you enjoyed the latest installment of Packer Transplants. Please tell your fellow Packer fans about us and visit us at cheeseheadtv.com.